Let me pour the coffee first.
Yes.
I think I'll take a little bit of cream.
Okay.
It's pretty civilized over at the National Endowment for the Arts. The brand new chairman, Dana Gioia, offers coffee in gold-rimmed cups. He is a poet, winner of the 2002 American Book Award, a critic, and a businessman. He spent 15 years at General Foods and ended up as vice president of marketing. Since it is National Poetry Month and Tax Month, I asked Dana Gioia to read one most appropriate poem he's written.
This is a poem about the single largest issue in the arts today. Money, the long green, cash, stash, rhino, jack, or just plain dough. Chalk it up, fork it over, shell it out. Watch it burn holes through pockets. To be made of it, to have it to burn. Greenbacks, double eagles, mega bucks, or Ginny Mays. It greases the palm, feathers a nest, holds heads above water, makes both ends meet. Money breeds money, gathering interest, compounding daily, always in circulation. Money. You don't know where it's been, but you put it where your mouth is, and it talks.
Well, that's quite terrific.
Thank you.
Where did it come from? Were you short of cash one day?
Well, I think every line in this poem was probably dictated by my parents at some point, you know, since we were a working class family, always, you know, on the verge of financial ruin.
So here you are, since the end of January, chairman of the NEA, where you have to think about money and how to get more of it so that it can go out across the land into pockets of the nation's artists or their arts institutions. How's it going?
Well, I think very well. I mean, the reason that I put my writing aside and came here was because I really believe it's important to restore the National Endowment for the Arts to its rightful place as one of the premier public agencies of the United States.
That's very ambitious of you, because this organization has had its share of hits. It became a political football. It got gutted budgetarily, 40% budget cut in the middle of the 90s. In many public minds, it's irrelevant now.
I refuse to believe that the public support for the arts and arts education is a controversial subject. Most Americans want art in their communities, and they want art in their children's schools. I'm so bored, you know, with this kind of habitual discussion of the controversies, the most recent of which happened 10 years ago in a previous century. We have to look forward and say, what is our vision for the support of arts in the United States?
Let's talk some about poetry and politics.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, the White House canceled a gathering of poetry that had been on the books for fear that some of the poets would protest the plans for an invasion of Iraq. In reaction to that, some of the nation's poets got together themselves and declared a National Day of Poetry against the war. Is this good for poetry to have it embroiled in current events?
It is in the nature of a democracy to have arguments, and it's therefore in the nature of artists in a democracy to participate in arguments, be they political, aesthetic, or personal. What makes a culture healthy is not this or that opinion, it's the conversations, the arguments, the debates a culture fosters. And the healthier a culture, the sharper and the broader the debates.
Odd, though, that the White House doors should be closed against such debate when poets wanted to make it against administration policy.
Well, I don't really want to get into that whole discussion because I don't really know all the facts.
Hmm. Okay. You're also appointed by a Republican president who lives in that same White House, so I suppose it would be delicate.
You know, my goal at the National Endowment for the Arts is to represent arts. It seems to me the most effective way, you know, that I can do that is by keeping the endowment out of all politics that don't directly serve it.
Hmm.
I mean, this endowment was the victim of being caught between left and right in the 90s. You know, the endowment exists to serve all Americans, and I look on my job is really to represent all Americans.
Let's talk then about poetry and war. We've had some wonderful poets of war, starting with Homer. What can poets do with and about and through warfare?
I've had an interesting experience happen to me again and again as a poet. I have phone calls from strangers, and they'll say, excuse me, is this Dana Gioia? I say, yes. And they said, I've heard you are a poet. And I know immediately why they're calling me. They're calling me to ask me to recommend them poems to read at one of two occasions, a wedding or a funeral. These are not literary people, but there's a kind of ancient wisdom that they have that on these occasions where the happiness or the sorrow is too great for everyday language, they need what poetry affords.
I brought, I know it's a favorite of yours, a little fragment from a poem of William Carlos Williams. The poem is Asphodel. Is it that leafy that, green?
Yeah, it's an interesting, the title is That Greeny Flower. And at really one of the great points of Williams' poems, he has just a little passage. It's only five lines long, but I think it is so wise. What Williams writes is, it is difficult to get the news from poems. Yet men die miserably every day for lack of what is found there. I think those are lines that really summarize what art does. I mean, we don't necessarily need art, but what art gives us, we hunger for. And without it, we starve.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gioia.
Well, thank you for coming.
Dana Gioia, the new chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. He is a poet and poetry lover, and this fall, Gioia plans to ask members of Congress to read Shakespeare aloud as part of a big American Shakespeare Festival. You can hear Mr. Gioia recite his poem Unsaid at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Susan Stamberg.